nur für Kurhausen sind.
Okay.
Ja.
Ok, drago poslušalstvo Radija Študent, smo v prvi fazi oddajanja iz galerije Alcatraz, ne? Imenujemo se Cirkulacija, mikrofon je na eni taki metli, v zadju se slišajo delovni zvoki, predpriprav, no, ampak to je že kar to, ne? Tako da... V nadaljevanju bomo prišli na angleški jezik, ker ta naša akcija nekako je mednarodna. Takole, da, ne vem, Reni bo mene sprašvala. So, hello, Reni, you are the only one who is used from this bunch to radio talk and you are... One could say narcissoid person like I am, ne? So we should be smart, ne? Because this is the so-called Huda Ura, terrible hour or whatever terrible, but it can mean also like weather is a bit heavy, ne? This is like translation which I found later on. It's a book from some cyber 60s era or maybe in the beginning of 70s. Ne? And the Slovene it was translated like Huda Ura. Ne? And so what we do here, it's a bit heavy. Huh? You said that you would ask me. Oh no, I have to present who you are. Yeah. Reni Hofmiller, she's a friend from Graz, also activist when there was not so much activists as today, maybe. Ne? She started the initiative for the free Graz radio, ne? Which was called Radio Helsinki. We will not go into details why, but just continue. Ne? We met, I think it's 12 years ago, around that time when internet was relatively young and all this multimedia, intermedia, I don't know how we call it, did we call it intermedia also? No. But also not new media. New media came later, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we started at that time to bring together kind of small collectives or small groups of or small social structures which form certain parts of our urban area where we live. Ne? One is this, Metelkova. It is good and bad. Ne? One is Radio Student, it is also good and bad. Ne? Cirkulacija, for now it's just good. But it will become bad, or maybe it is already. this was enough of introduction, or would you say something?
No. I take the broom. As explanation for the listeners, there's a very, very, very tiny little microphone connected to a broom. It's not a joke, yeah? You know the broom? That's the thing where you clean up with, or you can clean up with, but you can obviously also do other things with it. Ula Ula, I understand, is the somehow mixture, non-defined, not so open, maybe a little chaotic time of the day, maybe also such a weather. Maybe also such a state of mind. And I think that's a very interesting state of mind because it moves a little bit away from the already defined and clearly structured. It's not like in the morning you have to get, most of the people have to get up and they have to go to work or to school or to university or wherever. And this ula ula maybe can mean that we find open, and maybe not open structures, but maybe some space in between where by interfering a little bit and intervening a little bit, some other type of space or idea or time or perception of time can develop again. And I think this is what makes it interesting to experiment with that kind of media, no matter if it's intermedia or new media, multimedia. I mean, that's always layers, and it's more, that's a propaganda talk. You know, that's when you actually, when you want to start selling something, it can be very useful to define a certain term, but it's usually, it's never really representing or reflecting the energy and the ideas and this atmosphere that happens when you start experimenting. And experimenting means to try to understand something better, to try to take it apart in the sense of looking what is behind or what is inside, and also in situations with people, in social situations. This can be the most interesting, to really try to find out what can actually happen now in these days. We are here now, we're going to be here for 5 days. So the challenge and the possibility and is really the wonderfulness, so to speak, of such a situation is that it is not defined from the beginning what is going to happen. And I think this is one of the big, how can I say, I mean, there's the stupid word adventure that comes in my head, and that's not what I mean. What I mean is that we get into a state where we dare to say we do not know what is going to come out of it, and this is actually the biggest freedom that we can actually formulate at the moment, to not be consumable in the way of you get a description of what is going to happen, and we write the description, and then we have to fulfill the description, which makes us machines or makes us some stupid repetitors of something that's already thought to the end. And that's not interesting. That's not lively. That's not what is actually also challenging, in the sense of there's no decisions to be made if you already have taken the decisions before. So the actually challenging thing, I think, with this week and with all the weeks that Circulatio initiates in that direction, is that it opens up the possibility, at least, that this other, this non-known, not non-yet known, can happen. So this is like, that's maybe the reason also why I'm here, because I find that really intriguing and I find that interesting. And maybe my first question to you would be, what brings you, where do you take the energy from to keep these open situations?
I actually don't know what is my interest here so much. I think it's kind of altruism, which is kind of inbuilt into me and with the mother's milk, and I cannot get rid of it. It actually gives me a lot of back, even if things do not happen. It is not a linear way. It's what we present is actually not very presentable to the outside audience. So within this group or whatever structure is, we can get kind of good energy going on, and also kind of combined creativity, which I think it's missing in these times. But for the outside world, it's very problematic. You almost cannot communicate. So lately, maybe just these days, I'm losing this interest to describe, like in some kind of public relations manner, this is this and that is that. And even on the level of state which finances this kind of things, with them it's a problem, because they don't understand. It's just for you, it's just some internal shit. I don't remember now what word was used. You also said in your letter something about you are not serving anyone. So this kind of servility position, I don't know, it reminds me what is like a flashback coming from the past of some early socialist states, like Cultural Revolution in China, when all the artists, they were not allowed to be individualists, or I don't know, they had to be put into this very broad situation of national social workers. I somehow feel that this is coming back, and also that it is not understood that some spaces or areas should be left somehow open, or I mean, we are also the citizens, and we are fulfilling our needs, in some sense. Okay, this is a bit tricky question. I'm not 100% clear on it yet, but I know that I don't have to be servile to produce something which is, which means, which has some symbolic value, even if it's not valued at this moment for the broader society. That's why I keep on. I mean, I'm, like I said, that you are narcissistic a little bit, and I'm quite a bit, so I don't accept it that I'm in the public service here. It is public service, but not imposed to me, but from my own personal desire.
Yeah, what do you want to do, or what I want to do, or what we together want to try out in such a situation? What I think is, when you say you are tired of explaining, I know that. Yeah, I know it, and I'm sometimes in the same situation, but I would also make a difference. I am tired of explaining this type of contemporary art to people who do not want to listen. I'm not at all tired to talk with people who are new to that field, who want to do and try out things by themselves and by their own, and it's also, you've been doing this now for, I would say, 25 years. I've been doing this for nearly 25 years. So there is some sort of generational shift. And I see that it is really interesting, and also I think necessary and important to speak about what we do. But it is that this does not mean to make it consumable. It's just that what I think is necessary, but it goes the same for nanotechnology or for any sort of contemporary knowledge that's around. If you're not part of that field, if you're not a specialist, you need somebody to build a bridge. It's not possible that you, as a single individual, have the chance to get all the, let's say, all the past 25 years of contemporary music, for example, or sound, what has happened, and all these different people who have been doing things, and the possibility with all the gadgets that we all have now. I mean, they might not produce the very clear sounds or whatever, but actually I don't care, but it's very accessible also from an economic point of view, and not only that, but it's also, there's a lot of them around. So even if my, let's say, if my sound device crashes, I know, let's say, 10 people I can ask, and that was really different 15 years ago. So I think there's a switch and a shift in this, that the technical tools are available. But now what is really missing is the talking and discourse and exchange about what is it then that we want to hear, what comes out of these machines. And it's not only what the machines can do, but it has also, there has to be a part where we can actually experiment and then exchange about what we're doing, what does that, not as a narrative in the sense of, and somebody comes in and then this person leaves again, but what does it actually tell when we do these kinds of things? And I think that this exchanging about that and talking and discussing and also disagreeing, it's not about having a consensus on everything, but the lack of exchange about what do you actually want, and what do you like and what do you not like, and why, how do you come to that part of, to your point of view? This sort of criticism and critical discourse, this is what is missing. And I think therefore it's so essential that these things happen like we're doing them now, and that they're not so easily consumable, and it's not like totally undangerously running on a machine somewhere. But here, it's, if you come, I mean, I invite everybody to come to Alcatraz in this week. It's the first impression might look as it's very messy. You know, you see a lot of machines and cables and things going on, and everything runs in parallel and it's chaotic, and it needs time to find a way into that. And this is something I think is really very good. You know, it's not. I think it's good that it's not easy. I think it's necessary.
I think that the broom.
the famous broom.
Broom and the groom. like you said, I don't know, 25 years of contemporary art, for instance. I know relatively well music, man. So I know that when this kind of sounds started to happen, they didn't start from the footprints of the previous generation. So it was a kind of putting away this generation of Stockhausen, whoever from this. That was really becoming very, let's say, degenerate, no? But very specialized, no? Let's not say degenerate, but specialized, yeah. And so a kind of restart was happening or happened, no? From the other, a bit other aesthetic roots, yeah, like and again I think now what we reach here, né, with this very abstract music which you cannot hold, né, it's not just Circulatio that's doing this, also you are doing this, né, we are cooperated before, né, and maybe we also reach some very far point of this kind of. So I even lately found one book written by some guy who is living in Berlin, and he came here to try to organize something, né? And it was a strange reminder again of the socialist times, you know, one step back, two steps in front, né? It's all about the crisis in the music, né? And the crisis is not just in the music, né? It's also in the dance, because in the last, festival here in Ljubljana, it was also, nobody was dancing anymore, no? They were moving, or they not even moving, but they were there, né? So everybody's kind of searching how to not get back into the music, né? But how to prolong this kind of exploration, né? Experimental situations, né? But maybe it's not the good thing to search in these aesthetic areas. Né? How shall I move? What rhythm shall I design? Né? I believe it's in these social structures, né? Because the systems, I think that at least now it seems that social systems are falling apart. There is not much credibility from the government, from the people to the governments. Né? I don't know, last week there was a student protest here in Ljubljana, and for the first time, I don't know, in 100 years, there were bricks thrown and windows shattered on the parliament building, you know. So this would be like 11th September in Slovenia. And it was, I don't know, 5th May or 9th May or 11th May. Maybe now we leave a little bit to the sound. To sva se pogovarjala z Reni Hofmiller, kolegico iz Graca. Tamle je pa Štefan, ki nekaj nabija ene zvoke, ne? Pa Boštjan, ki tudi se igra tam z eno tiskano ploščico, a ta vidva zdaj delala, ne? Tako da poslušamo, kaj imajo za povedati.
Thank you.
No, nazaj na valovih radija študent z novim basom, ki je naredil Štefan Depner. Taka industrijska muzika nas potegne nazaj v tista, no vem, zgodna 70-ta, pozna 60-ta nemške avantgarde v glasbi, pa tudi v filmu se mi zdi je bilo precej aktivno. Krautrock smo mu rekli. No, cirkulacija bo mogoče v iskanju. Maybe circulation will follow this road, this path to search for the possible passive participants, like interactive, ne? Interpassive, ne? Did you hear about this interpassivity principle? It means that you somehow want to do something, you just don't have time, but you prepare, you get things, you know, like a new computer, which is video-able, ne? For the time that you will have time to do the video. This is called, instead of interactivity, interpassivity. this is from some Viennese psychoanalyst, some theory. I forgot what's his name, but... what we are... no, you try to find some reason.
I try to find some reason. We were talking about how do you learn how to do things? You know, how do you learn to be more than a consumer, or not only a consumer, or maybe not a consumer anymore? So how can it change that? How can people change coming to Metelkova or Alcatraz or whichever other place? From just being there, consuming what is there, into being active people.
So from passive to active, right?
Yeah, exactly. Coming from this interpassivity state into an interactivity state. And what can participation mean apart from, or not going in this direction of you can vote for everything and you can send messages for everything and you can have this and that gadget, but what actually brings you into an active participation in something. And it can still mean that it doesn't necessarily mean that you always have to do something in the sense of visibly, I don't know, setting up a system or making sound or music at that moment, but how can you actually change your own perception of yourself in a way that makes you more that moves you more into the present? Because I think being active is actually that something that one person or a group of people perceive and feel in that certain moment, and it's not something that can be repeated, and it's also not something that can be made from outside. This is something which has to do with a decision that you take yourself. So how do you do doing?
So you probably, there is an important aspect of this is somehow relation between your individuality, your insights, né, what's going on in there, and this collective part, the outside, where you are forced, not forced, but you live as a social being, as a human, you are part of something, né? We didn't define actually this what consumer means or what we spit out as consume, né? But somehow I find it that it is mainly about keeping you outside of any kind of active role, except in the role of going for those couple of products or services that are available. Eh? Somehow you are being focused to very few decisions. It's a lot of decisions, but actually they're not unlimited. For instance, if you look, today a young person can be a punk, a heavy metal, emo, a hippie, yes, but there's actually less than 10 variations of this, ne? And with every of these identities, ne, goes whatever the market can offer you, ne? There is actually no ideology, ne? Because this is not necessary, ne? Somehow just outside, no? And this, I call it instant, like instant polenta or instant tea. Not tea is not instant.
Yeah, it's also instant tea.
So this is consumed. This you can grab it in one day. You can become a punk, ne? And then you stop in a couple of months. Now you don't have to live it all through your life, which is again one thing which I could also criticize, no? If somebody is a punk from 16 to 60. I think we are atomized as persons to just this role, basic role of consumers, no? Passive receivers of whatever is offered to us, no? We shouldn't have other wishes, no? Because it's not economic, ne? We have other wishes, of course, but somehow it's very hard to fulfill them, ne? It's not so easy, you know. If you are raised on television, ne? Atomized in this sense that you don't have very close friends, ne? And then you are confronted with a feeling that you have to go out, grab this mass of people, ne, and find some of your own kind and start to build up something. Ne? Yeah. This is also some point in this do-it-yourself principle when it's thought of a little bit broader, ne, and open source concept also. Ne? Yeah. No.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, but what I'm also thinking about is this: how does it then actually happen that a person, you, me, takes the decisions? Because there's always a lot of decisions that you have to take, and it's even in the consumerist world you have to take these decisions. And I just remembered an Austrian writer. His name is Alfred Anders. And he wrote a book that's called The Cherries of Freedom. And it's, I think he wrote it in the late 1940s. So it was after the Second World War. It was after this whole destruction and in this period when a lot of things were totally unclear. And he was a young boy and he was growing up. And he writes about these times. And it's actually quite a nice story, and you can just read it as a nice story. But he's talking about the situation when he and I think two of his friends, they sit on the cherry tree and they steal cherries. And, you know, the usual thing, the farmer comes and shouts, "Where are my cherries?" And he describes the situation, like he describes the whole situation in different parts where they always had to take essential decisions, like would they dare to go up the tree? Would they, if they were in the tree, would they dare to really eat the cherries? And then would they dare to take more cherries than they could eat and bring some to whoever? And would they run away from the farmer or would they talk with him? And all these decisions, he describes them as that the moment when you really freeze before you take the decision, because then all these choices are before you. And then once you've taken the decision, you've decided for one of all these many, many paths you can take, of all the many directions you can go. And I found that a beautiful description of freedom, because he describes it in a way that he says, before you take it, you cannot not take a decision. That's not possible. either you do this or that or this or that. It's not, you cannot stay in the before decision stage, but this is actually the stage of freedom. And then you take a decision and this has consequences, and out of these consequences again you have a set of possibilities where freedom comes up. But freedom is not the, it's not like a constant. It is something that happens due to certain situations, and it has to do with yourself if you perceive that as a freedom or not. And I found that beautiful.
And what about can you live as a human being without making decisions? I mean, it's also a decision if you go outside to buy this kind, this clothes or that clothes. No? It's not such a big decision. No? Even if you don't decide, you're not standing like immovable. No? You're following certain certain path, which probably was defined for you to go. No? To be predictable. No? Yeah, now I forgot what I wanted to say.
If a human being can be without taking decisions, I don't think so. Because I think it's also, if you decide not to decide, this is also a decision. It's kind of a, you cannot not take part. It's like, it always reminds me of Adorno, who said after Second World War, again, same period, that you cannot write a poem anymore. And actually he meant you cannot do anything anymore. But as you cannot do nothing. It's just physical. Even if you only sit here, your heart is beating. I mean, as long as you're alive. So there is something that you do. You breathe. You have to eat. There are some things that you do, so then the not is not possible.
Yeah, but that was what I said. Yeah. That as a human being, you always take decisions. Right? Even if you take those ones which were defined, prepared for you from outside. Right? Yeah. But maybe this kind of deciding for the wrong paths, you know, which was also kind of artistic point or poetic point. I remember some movie, some citation from some, I don't know, British or American poet. There were two paths to follow, and I took the wrong one. Something like this. But sometimes one decides in relation to something to do the opposite. Right? So as a kind of not going towards something, but going away. Right? So deciding against something is also a decision for something else, man. But it's not pronounced, not, I'm not for this, I'm against that, man. But you go somewhere, man. For me, this is same kind of decision, maybe not so focused, man, but it brings consequences. No, yeah.
It brings consequences. Yeah. Maybe the most challenging and interesting decisions are those that are not like I go totally with, let's say, the mainstream, or I go against the mainstream, because also going against the mainstream actually is defined by mainstream. You know, it's like I do not see the movie that everybody else goes to see. It's not defined by my own interest, but it's defined by some sort of, I don't know, vogue, some sort of stream, current, where you say, I don't want to be part of this, so I'm the anti, I'm the anti.
The alternative.
No, it's not the alternative. That's
the alternative.
Yeah, no. But I think the way it starts really getting interesting, and their decisions also get interesting, is when you really try to get into something like a personal point of view. And I'm really not, I don't favor at all any sort of egoism or egocentrism. I'm not interested in that. But I am interested in finding out how can I get to my own biography, for example. How can I manage at the end to not copy things that have been that are normal to the, that sort of person that I am, you know, like white female, mid-40s, living and being born in Austria, what does it mean? And it gives a certain frame in which you have to move. And then I think, nah, do I have to repeat that? Do I have to stick to that? And which questions can come up if I dare to go away from the role that's kind of described to this? And the role can be the same for also the sound person, maybe the technician or the one who is really actually producing the sound. Which decisions do I take there? I mean, it's the same freedom and also the same challenge in the sense of I have to find out what I want to do. And this experimenting is trying to find that out and finding out some atmospheres or some situations or some combinations of sound where something works, however I could describe that then, because it's also very often not repeatable. But when do I dare to say, this is good art? It's easy to say that it's bad art, and that's not interesting. The negative criticism is somehow so much built into our way of dealing with whatever theories and practices we come across that it's very hard to find these, let's say, interesting and intriguing and kind of also like positively challenging situations where you say, "Wow, there's actually really something happening now." You know, this kind of somehow some magic or whatever. Yeah, and how do we get to a point where it's not only my individual perception that I say for me it's now working, but how can this transcend to something which is perceivable and readable for more people? I think this is really challenging to find out.
This could then be linked to what we were talking before about this consume also, and these decisions, I think. At one point I was writing something. When I write, I'm quite much smarter than when I talk, no? Because things are...
I'm better with talking.
Yeah. And... somehow, through this logic process of writing, it came to me that we usually act out of inertia, out of what we know, what we hear. Ne? If we hear information about which we didn't yet think until then we usually just copy this information and we keep it as ours. Ne? But if we want to have our own information about something, then we have to deal with it very seriously, and which is very time-consuming. Ne? And this is not very instantaneous. Ne? And doing art in this serious sense that we do it here, ne? Usually means that we deal with very basic stuff, and we invest quite a lot of time also to this... philosophical questions. I mean, it may not be the philosophical in the sense of academic, ne? But they are basic. Ne? Why is this like that? For which of these possibilities should I decide? Ne? Sometimes it doesn't matter, but sometimes we choose, ne? Because we also accept random or suggestion from the thing itself. Ne? Sometimes I think that in order to explain what I do, the other person has to invest the same amount of time to understand. I mean, but it can happen that somebody does this same thinking in some other area. Ne? Then this kind of linkage is very simple. Ne? It's just through two parallel discourses, you just bring kind of connection, né? And usually we do not, things are not so different, né? Dance is not so different from music or, I don't know, any kind of specialist field has kind of total space which is filled with everything with what my area is filled. Né? So now we are almost at the end.
We come back.
Where?
I don't know. You have to schedule.
Of a radio program or?
Yeah.
I don't have a schedule. It's 1 hour. It was a sonata, you know. At the beginning we started and then they, and now we finished Kosovo. So, takole, cirkulacija, dobitnica zlate ptice, nagrada za glasbo v svoji najboljši varianti.